Hi, it's Amaya.
And it's Lily.
And welcome back to True Crime Chat. Okay, so on this episode, I'm going to be talking about the Chris Watts case. Lily, do you know much about this case?
I watched his interrogations, actually. I watched this whole thing. Right? He's the guy that killed his kids and his wife.
Yes.
Well, yes. Yeah. And the wife.
Yes. He did. Okay. So, essentially, this episode is going to be basically kind of long, kind of not. I don't know. Okay, so first we're going to start by talking about Chris. Chris was born Christopher Lee Watts, and he was from Spring Lake, North Carolina. So everyone described him as soft-spoken and very passive, which is important to know that he's passive and very soft-spoken in his relationship as well. One teacher actually said that he was the smartest student that he ever had and that he had a photographic memory. So Chris had a dream to go work for NASCAR and just say that didn't work out.
Yeah, I was going to say, with a passive personality, that doesn't seem like a very fitting job. Yeah.
He was extremely into cars, though, I guess.
Good for him.
And then, so now we have Shanann. Shanann was born Shanann Catherine Ruchek, and she's from Aberdeen, North Carolina. So she met Chris after he, like, slid into her inbox on Facebook.
Creepy.
Yeah, he, like, I guess, because they're both from North Carolina, so I assume they knew of each other in some way. So they got...
That's like saying I would know someone from New York City because I'm from Buffalo.
Well, they're talented. I don't know. I guess common friends, I don't know, but they kind of knew of each other.
Okay.
Considering Shanann had a very vocal and social personality. Mm-hmm. So you can see they
like
were...
Like my mother.
Very much like your mother.
Yeah.
Alright. So you can see how that would create problems in a relationship.
Yes.
How he's, like, always letting things go and she can't let things go and he's just like, oh.
Yeah.
He kind of takes it from her. Because I read a book about him, actually.
I got one of the ones you bought at Barnes & Noble the first time we met. I love that.
Yeah, it was called The Perfect Father, and they described their relationship in a very toxic way because it seemed like Shanann, nothing Chris ever did was good enough for her in most ways, and he kind of felt like he was bullied by her because of just the way she was. So, the couple, they got married in 2012, and they moved to Colorado and got a five-bedroom house in 2013. And then, shortly thereafter, in 2015, they filed for bankruptcy, so that's fine.
Oh, good. And then, money issues, that's always where it starts.
Yeah. They were, they had student loan debt, and just debt. They were just in debt. And then they just bought a house.
Me too. I'm in debt.
That didn't help. So then, Shanann starts working for Thrive, which is one of those, like, multi-level marketing companies where the more you sell, the quicker up on the ladder you go, and then the more benefits you get.
I was almost a part of one of those. Did I tell you that?
No.
That was funny. Yeah, I got recruited over the summer. That was fun. I went to an interview and everything, and then they wanted me to do, like, 2 days of 6 hours unpaid training, and I said, no. I was like, I'm not doing that. You know, so I never showed up.
That almost happened to me. It was like right after my senior year, I thought that I could do something. I needed a job, obviously.
And yeah.
They wanted me to sell knives.
That's literally the same company. That's literally the same company.
And they're like, go door to door. And I was like, no.
No, they didn't want me to go door to door. They wanted me to sell it on Facebook and do like Zoom like consultations.
I wish I would have done that.
No, I could not. They wanted me to market it to my friends and having my friends tell their friends to come to me.
Oh.
And I don't have any friends that are going to buy $300 sets of knives. Like,
no.
So I would make no money. Like,
literally, and you got paid on commission, but it was like $20 an hour. They just keep sending mail to my grandma's house.
Yeah.
Like, leave me alone. Like, I think my mom went to drop me off at the at the interview, and she was pissed because it ended up taking longer than it was supposed to.
Yeah, no, because I did an online interview, and there were, like, 100 people in that call, and I was like, that should have been red flag number one.
It's too good to be true. If it's too good to be true, then it is.
Yeah.
So, so that meant that Shanann was constantly posting on Facebook and Instagram, and she'd often post videos about her relationship with Chris and how he's always there for her and how much he loves her and how their relationship, you know, it takes time. And she was kind of giving relationship advice, which in hindsight is very ironic.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And Chris works for a petroleum company called Anadarko Petroleum. And then, also they had two kids. They had Bella Marie Watts. She was born in 2013. And you had Celeste Catherine Watts. They called her Cece. And she was born in 2015, a day before your birthday, actually.
And 2 days before your birthday.
So funny, too, Nathan.
That's so funny. I love that.
Okay, so now we're going to be talking about what happened leading up to everything. So in June 11th of 2018, Shanann surprises him with a video saying that they're going to have their third baby.
Okay.
Little baby Nika. He just completely seems uninterested in the idea of having another child.
Good.
Yeah, no, and his reaction was so lackluster, and he was like, he was what? He goes, that's awesome. And the one thing that struck out to me is the fact that he looks at the pregnancy test, goes, oh, it's pink. Does that mean it's a girl?
Oh, Lord.
But he had two kids before
what
that.
What are we going to do with men?
I don't know.
Oh, Lord.
That's like, that was the part that killed me. He goes, oh, it's pink. Does that mean it's a girl?
That's and so like, funny.
Yeah. He's like, he seemed like he was just like not with it. So all in all, he just goes, that's awesome. He's like, well, yeah, oh, another baby. And then on Father's Day, Shanann posts a message saying, Chris, we're so lucky to have you. You do so much for us. You take good care of us. You're the reason I was brave enough to agree to number three. You're incredible. We're so lucky to have you. Happy Father's Day. So then sometime in the month of June, he begins having an affair.
Yes, I do vaguely remember this.
Yes, her name was Nicole Kessinger.
That's kind of funny since the third baby was going to be named Nico.
True.
Nicole.
Nico.
Yeah.
Okay. Such a mess. So he was essentially, first he was trying to, because Chris also, because Shanann sold Thrive and Chris also used Thrive and he lost a bunch of weight on it and he was trying to help her out by helping to sell it, and that's how he met Nicole, by trying to sell her Thrive. Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
So Thrive is like a weight loss thing?
I don't know what it is. It's like a better life thing. Just like better life.
Okay.
Like energy, better everything. Because Chris wore a patch. He wore like two of them, actually.
So it's like drugs. But like...
Boom. Like, yeah. He wore two of them, which wasn't healthy because he lost a lot of weight very quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, so in July of 2018, Shanann and her daughters go on vacation to North Carolina while Chris stays in Colorado.
Okay.
He begins to have a physical relationship with Nicole and he tells her that him and Shanann are divorced. They're no longer together.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So sometime during the month, Nicole and Chris go on dates and he brings her back to the house that he owns with his wife that his children live in as well.
That's just straight disrespect.
It's so disrespectful.
So disrespectful.
Like, he doesn't even care at this point.
Yeah.
But, like, he does. Like, I don't know how to
describe. Yeah, and, I mean, not to, like, blame Nicole, because Chris is completely at fault. But, like, you would think that you'd do a little bit of digging on the guy that you're hooking up with, right?
Yeah, it's...
Like, you see this woman is still posting photos with him and of their kid, and... saying that, like, happy Father's Day to him and stuff like that. Like, you'd kind of...
Yeah.
Put those things together.
Yeah, no, she's I don't understand. At the end of July, he finally joins Shanann and the girls on vacation. And Shanann sends Chris a text and she goes, like, you okay? I keep trying to talk to you. And I had to essentially dig information out of you. And he responds, I'm fine, baby. The last few days of work have put a lot of responsibility on me with new people. I didn't mean to seem short, boo. I love you to the moon and back.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. He's absolutely ridiculous. So then he joins them on vacation, and Shanann has this big blow up with Chris's parents over Celeste eating nuts because she's allergic to nuts.
Oh.
Yeah, and Chris would later call this Nutgate. And here's a little to the effect of, like, what she was saying. She was like, you can believe I created this dagger, but I didn't do that. I stood up for our kids. I advocated and protected our children. I don't ever want to hear, I'm sorry, I killed your kid because I was stupid. That would kill me. These kids are my world, and I have to protect them from the evil of the world. I shouldn't have to protect them from evil family. And, like, when I first heard about this, I didn't understand it. But as I was reading the book, it seemed like the more his relationship progressed with Shanann, the farther away he grew from his family.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really interesting as the fact that I was like, oh. But I don't know. And then she kind of turns it to, you never said I missed you. You can be alone. The pregnancy I failed to acknowledge. You don't acknowledge how I'm feeling. Like, essentially culminating to this big thing. Like, you don't care about me anymore.
Yeah.
And I guess he just shrugs it off. So, after the fight, they don't come to Cece's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Poor Cece.
Yeah. But in the same...
birthday party.
Oh, this is in August. They don't come to Cece's birthday party. In the same month... Nicole, his girlfriend, she begins to go wedding dress shopping.
Oh, good.
Yeah, telling her friends, like, I think he's the one. I think we're gonna get married. Hmm. Yeah.
Good.
Okay, so leading up to the weekend, that weekend, so from August 9th to the 12th, Shanann goes on a business trip, and she left Chris a note to... in a last effort to save their marriage, and how she will always fight for him, and she'll always fight for them, because they love each other. Which, interesting fact, I did not mention this earlier, but before he left to join his wife and his kids on vacation, he left Nicole a note saying how much he loved her and how much he couldn't wait to be with her.
Good. So what did he tell Nicole that he was going on this trip with?
I guess just to see his family, because he's from North Carolina, so it doesn't raise, like, red flags.
Yeah.
And I guess she just assumed that they were going to be co-parenting on this trip. I don't know. I don't understand this whole idea of taking things at face value.
Me either. Why are people not questioning things more?
So, when Shanann goes to check their bank statements that weekend, she sees that Chris went to dinner when he said he was going to be at a sports outing.
Oh.
So that, like, she was very suspicious of that. Because usually he doesn't do that. He has, like, his own card to do stuff like that. So I guess he might have slipped up.
Yeah, probably.
Ugh, scum.
Absolute scum.
So now we're going to talk about what happened the night. What happened on August 13th of 2018. So, essentially, around 2 a.m., Shanann returns home from her business trip. And her friend, who's also named Nicole, so her name is Nicole Atkinson. So, nobody gets confused, I'm just going to call her Atkinson.
Okay.
Just to make things easier for everyone. So, according to Chris, they were laying in bed together. They had just had sex of some sort. And he tells her about Nicole. And he tells her that he is having an affair and he does not want to be married to her anymore. That he would rather be with Nicole.
Way to dump that on her right after having sex with her?
Ice.
Absolute scumbag move. Literally. Like, that's actually awful.
Shanann blows up and looks at him and goes, well, then you'll never see Bella or Celeste again.
Which... fair. Honestly, fair.
Literally, can't be trusted to do anything.
Literally. Especially after not standing up for his own kid's allergies. Like, whatever.
Yeah. It's a lot. So then he snaps. And as he is strangling Shanann, their daughter walks in.
Oh, geez.
Little Bella walks in and she goes, she asks him, looks at him and goes, what's wrong with mommy? He completely ignores her. He wraps Shanann up. He carries her to the truck. He puts Bella and Cece in the back of the truck and he drives to his work site.
Hmm.
Which is, like, where he's currently at right now. It's, like, in the middle of nowhere. And there's, like, two oil drums. And,
yeah.
Like, just a vast amount of land. So, when they arrive at the worksite, he takes Shanann out and he buries her in a shallow grave. Keep in mind, she's 15 weeks pregnant at this point in time. She is pregnant. She's still pregnant. And then he goes back to the truck. First, he kills his youngest daughter, Cece. So he kills Cece, and then he turns to Bella, and Bella looks at him, and she asks, what happened to Cece? And her last words were, Daddy, no. And now he says that every time he closes his eyes, that's all he can hear.
Jeez, that's messed up.
Yeah. So after that, Chris, essentially, he puts them in two separate oil drums and drives away.
Jeez.
And he comes back, he pretends like he was going to work all along.
Yeah.
So, fast forward to about 12 o'clock, he starts texting with the real estate agent. And, like, he talks about, he gives the condition of their current house, and then he talks about what they want in a new house.
Huh.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, okay, so you're going to divorce her, but then you're still talking about buying a new house. Now you can understand why she was so caught off guard.
Yeah.
Because he seemed like he wanted his cake and he wanted to eat it too.
Yeah, for sure.
It's absolutely ridiculous. So, as he's texting with the agent, she begins to pick up on the fact that Shanann hasn't been responding to any text messages. Which, like you and me, it's very odd when there's no response because she's very active and very vocal.
Yeah, no, I get that.
So, she wonders if he tells her that Shanann hasn't been around all day and it's very odd. Now, she wonders if he's let anyone know that Shanann is missing. And this man goes, I've done it all. Police are handling it now. Send prayers, please. At around 12:30. But Shanann isn't reported missing till almost 1:30 by her friend Atkinson.
Yeah.
So Atkinson is the one that reported her missing.
Why even lie about that? Like, why...
like, why put the effort in to...
like, say the police... like, when there's, like, solid evidence. Like, that's... the police have records on everything. Like, did he really think he was going to get away with that?
Because at first when I was looking into this, I thought that what he... like, I thought this came, like, way later, like, after everything. But they're just, like, texting at 12, like, 12:30, and they're texting each other back and forth, and then all of a sudden he's like, I've handled it. But, like, you didn't.
Yeah.
He just went to work and pretended, like, everything was okay. Like, when he got back, he's like, oh, I'm just going to pretend like I'm going to work for the first time. I understand.
Yeah.
Like, it's absolutely ludicrous to me that he thinks that this makes sense. So then he tells the police, he's like, oh, well, she must have left with the girls. But, like, how? Because her car was still in the garage.
Yeah.
So, like, how would she have left with the, like, what would she have done?
Yeah.
Because she also was supposed to have a doctor's appointment to check on the baby and hear the baby's heartbeat again.
Oh, geez.
So that's also a red flag for Atkinson. She's like, Shanann would never.
Yeah.
miss this appointment. Like, not in a million years.
Especially because that's, like, in the first trimester or close to, or, like, the very beginning of the second. Like, that's crucial time for those appointments.
And she was very excited about having a third baby. As she has had expressed on multiple different occasions. Like, it boggles my mind. So then, like, the neighbor's like, oh, well, come check out my footage. Because, you know.
Cameras.
Everyone records everything nowadays.
Yeah.
It's called insurance. You should have it. So Shanann did not leave with the girls, as proven by the. So his idea that Shanann must have left with girls.
Yeah.
Is completely disproven. Because of the neighbor's security footage. And then at one point, I don't know if it was before or after they reviewed the footage, I assume it might have been somewhere in between, the neighbor looks at the police and goes, like, he's not acting right. Like, something's going on with him.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, he's usually a calm guy, like, he's very reserved, but he's all, like, fidgety and just moving around and acting ridiculous. That's what I said.
Quick question, because I'm just going back to the fact that he put the two in the oil drums.
Mm-hmm.
How does he think that that's going to work? Like, does he think that no one else at his work checks them? Like,
I don't know.
Definitely not the only one that works there. Like,
I don't know. I genuinely have no idea. I just know, like, it's absolutely wild. Like, of all places, you bring them to
your workplace?
Okay, so on August 14th, he appeared on his local news channel, and he gives this plea about, like, wherever they are, please come back, and if anybody has them, please bring them back. But it's in the way he's talking that it just, like,
doesn't seem right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like he doesn't mean what he's saying. Like, he could care less. And I assume once he killed Shanann, that maybe he would be able to get away with it and go and live with Nicole.
Yeah.
I assume that was his plan. I mean, he did snap and did it in a heated moment, but it's just the after-fact behavior. So then, on August 15th, the police questioned him about Nicole. Because somehow they found out about Nicole.
Didn't they take his phone?
I think so. I think he also had this calculator app where he would, like, hide the nudes that she, like, this secret calculator app. Yeah.
That's.
Where he would, like, hide all. He's a weird.
That's disgusting.
Something's wrong with the guy, obviously.
Clearly.
So, they question about his mistress and the fact that he failed a lie detector test. So, in doing this, somehow they were able to crack him. But they didn't crack him much because he only admitted to killing Shanann. He says that Shanann is the one that killed Bella and Cece. She smothered them. Hmm. And he was acting in reaction to that, so he only killed Shanann. He didn't kill his daughters, he killed Shanann only.
Yeah.
And when this first came out, his mother and father are like, yeah, that's tracks. This makes sense to me.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I watched his interrogations, and I remember his dad came in and was, like, rubbing his back and stuff like that, and was like, we're gonna get you out of this or whatever, like, we're gonna get through this, like, no, your son murdered people, like, you're not getting through this.
And not just people, like, his wife family, and children. His family,
yeah. Your son is going to jail.
There's no way around that. So, eventually, on August 15th, he's arrested on suspicion of 3 first-degree murder charges and 3 charges of tampering with a deceased human body.
Hmm.
So I assume they think that at that point that he's murdered all 3 of them, but they can't prove it because he only admitted to murdering one of them, and the fact that he moved them.
Yeah.
So on August 16th, they discover where Shanann is buried, and they discover the girls in the oil drum.
Yeah.
That's devastating.
Yeah.
So, somewhere between August 16th and November 6th, Chris Watts pleads guilty to all counts against him. 5 counts of first-degree murder, 3 counts of tampering with a deceased human body, and 1 count of unlawful termination of a pregnancy, because at that point he had finally admitted to killing all 3 of them.
Yeah.
So you're wondering, like, at this point, must be wondering, like, why 5 counts? He only killed 3 people.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's exactly what I was thinking. I was going to question you about that.
Okay, so essentially, because Bella and Cece were under the age of 12, there was another murder charge tacked on for each of them.
Okay.
Sadly, that counts 5.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay, so, and then on November 16th, mistress Nicole, she comes out and was like, he lied to me. He straight up lied to me. He told me that they were getting a divorce. He just essentially was untruthful to me.
Yeah.
So don't make me out to be the bad guy, because essentially that's what they do, is they kind of like look at the mistress.
Yeah, that's what people's natural reaction is.
Like, if you look at what happened to Scott Peterson.
I don't know who that is.
He's the one that murdered his 9 pregnant wife that's 9 months old. Not 9 months old. She was 9 months pregnant, and he was having an affair, and that came out, and everyone's like, oh.
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he actually, well, as of right now, he's in jail for murdering her, but they found her, but whatever, it's neither here nor there.
Wrong case. Different episode topic.
Different day. Okay. So, almost a year, on November 19th, he is sentenced to 3 consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole. And because he took a plea deal, because he was willing to admit it, he narrowly escaped the death penalty. Which means he could have gotten the injection had he not taken that plea deal.
And put him on death row. What he deserves.
Literally. Okay, so on October 8th of 2020, Chris Watts' parents did an interview, and they say that they still love him despite what he did to everyone, because now they understand exactly what happened. Like, at this point, after, it's been almost a year, so they finally came to terms with.
And they accept it? They realized, and they just went, okay, we still love you. Like, what?
I have no idea.
Oh, that's so crazy. They probably think Shanann's at fault here in some sort of way.
Probably, because they honestly really just didn't like her.
Yeah.
But, like, there, I
think. Seems like it.
It didn't seem like there was no reason to, like, dislike her. Okay, so right now I want to read to you, like, some of the texts that Shanann sent Chris. She essentially goes, truth came out. This happened around the time of the fact that they didn't come to Cece's party.
Okay.
So she's like, truth came out last night. I didn't create no dagger between you and your dad. That was done by your mom and your dad. Oh, I forgot to mention the fact that Chris and his dad were very close.
Okay.
Like, they were very close prior to Shanann and Chris's relationship. So as I told you, there was a divide in the family.
Yeah.
And that also came between Chris and his father, which devastated Chris. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. That was done by your mom and your dad, and I won't change a thing. My daughter's life is way more important. And you better believe I wanted to say a whole lot more than I did, but I was being the bigger person and protecting Bella. I didn't tell your dad not to come to party. I didn't tell him not to text or call your daughter or her birthday. I didn't tell him to start acting like he has 2 grandkids instead of 4. I didn't block your family on Facebook. He did. Myself and your kids have nothing to say to them. They do. They owe your kids their lives. Your parents' home isn't a safe zone. Your mom isn't safe. You can tell them what you want, but I didn't tell anyone to stop loving your kids or stop acting like it. Aye, aye, aye.
That's a lot.
Okay, so essentially from what I read in the book, they try to apologize but justify. And that never goes over well.
How do you justify?
Well, okay. So what they did was they gave her something that had nuts in it, but I guess they didn't know that it had nuts in it at the time. So I think the way that they justify is, like, we didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, we're aware that she has this nut allergy, and we didn't, like, do it on purpose.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to flip out, but, you know, it's your kid.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I would flip out. Justifiably. Like, if you know your kid has an allergy, you're gonna do anything at all costs. Like, most people don't even have the foods in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Until the kids are at least old enough to check for themselves.
Yeah. So that is, like, this Chris Watts case. And you said that you'd already known about it. And a lot of this information is, like, whack.
Yeah, no. He's unhinged. I can't with him.
It's only, like, some of, like, the stuff. Like, because there's always two sides to a story, but sadly, we can't hear shenanigans. Because she spent a long time. She wanted to make it work.
Yeah.
But, like, the part I don't understand is the why.
Well, you have three kids with someone, and you're going to want to make it work at some point. You're not going to want to just throw all that time away. Like, I get it.
I just feel like it would have been so much easier for her to just walk away from him.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, toward the end of everything, he just kept pulling away.
Yeah.
And she just kept asking him, like, why, and he just kept going, nothing's wrong, and then she's going to her friends, like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't understand why he's pulling away from me.
Yeah.
I think that the answer, she did suspect that he was cheating on her for a while.
Yeah.
But, again, she took it at, I guess you have suspicions, but you don't want them to be confirmed, so you ignore them.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's essentially what happened, is she didn't want it to be true.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I mean, like, they've been married for 6 years at this point? 5 or 6 years.
Jeez.
Did you see the documentary on Netflix?
No, I didn't.
Don't waste your time. It's kind of boring.
Alright.
Just let, like, the book was a lot more interesting. It was just weird because I really honestly don't read.
Oh, no, you don't?
Yeah, I don't. But the book was really interesting.
As we sit under my entire bookshelf.
Yeah. Okay, well, that essentially, this episode was a lot shorter than most. I think I got a good chunk of information out there in a quick amount of time.
Oh, yeah. No, we sped through that. But it's alright, you got everything covered.
Yes, I did. I have this long list of things. And I covered basically all the big things. And now Chris is still in jail for the rest of his life. The rest of his natural born life and any life thereafter.
Good.
He deserves it. Mm-hmm. Just the idea that he tried to pin it on her.
Yeah.
Like, he could not take responsibility for his actions.
Yeah.
And tried to blame a dead woman. And the fact that she was pregnant?
Yeah, no, that's screwed.
Ugh, whatever. Anyway, that was it for this episode of True Crime Chat. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Peace.